The title of my sermon is Grace is a Greasy Arrow. And I'm sure there's many questions over that title.
Yes. Kind of like straddle of the fence or something.
Well, it kind of sounds like that, doesn't it? I woke up one morning, this was a few months back, out of a really nice sleep, and I was waking up and I heard the phrase, grace is a greasy arrow. And I went, Lord, what does that mean? Because it almost sounds wrong. And so needless to say, I spent many days after that seeking God and finding out what he was meaning by that. You know, God's doing a new thing with me too, because I'll start waking up and he'll give me a statement or he'll give me a topic. So one time it was the word disappointments. I woke up with that. And so that I just knew that's what God wanted me to speak on for Hope Fellowship. And so then we did that a few weeks ago, didn't we? And then, so this is a new one. And as I was seeking the Lord, you know, I really wanted his heart on this. And we've heard of grease, maybe you've heard the term greasy grace, or grace is not grease. You don't slip and slide in it. You ever heard that term? Well, that's not... You've never heard that term? Oh, there's so much controversy even over that statement, because, yeah, so I'm ready for controversy on this subject, but anyway, the Lord was just showing me what he meant by that, and so I'd like to go through it today, but today, you know, when you think of the word grace, I think today people, especially Christians, don't offer grace to people very freely, you know. Far too often we judge and criticize others after making a quick judgment of their actions. We put them in a category like, well, you know, we know they've done this, and so they're this type of a person. And you don't have to raise your hand, but just, have you ever done that? You know, you just think, okay, well, that's what they are. That's what they do. We label them sinners and we cast a judgment and they are guilty, or even worse, talk about behind their back and we gossip about them. You know, and so the very thing that we judge them about and we don't give grace over, and we don't even have all the facts, is the very thing we're doing, which is sin, when we gossip or we judge them. Okay, so it's really interesting in our society and even in the church today, where we find people think it's okay to judge as opposed to giving grace or mercy and grace to each other. And this should not be. And so I believe there is something within us that we don't want to look bad compared to other people. So we are quick to criticize and judge people who have messed up or have done something wrong. And this should not be. So I almost cringe sometimes when I hear people's conversations, and they're even on TV or just different things, and they're judging somebody. Because I know what the Bible says. Judge not, lest you be judged, right? And I do not want to be judged. So I will err on the side of mercy and grace every time. And then if the person, maybe you think I'm, maybe some people might term that gullible, but that's not the word I'm looking for. It's just, I would rather think good about somebody, think positive, that they have good intentions. If those intentions are shown differently, then that's what they're doing, you know. But I am not going to I try really hard not to prejudge somebody. And I encourage you to do the same, because I wouldn't want that to happen to me. Would you like that to happen to you? You're walking down the street or you're saying something and then someone all in their mind, they don't tell you, but they are already judging you, and there's no grace. There's just no nothing. So we could think, like we were talking about relationships on Friday night, about the people in our lives. And do we offer grace to people in the relationships to be able to have freedom to make a mistake? Because, again, nobody's perfect, and this is where the imperfect are perfectly welcome. But that should be any church, really. It should be full of a bunch of imperfect people that are striving and trying to learn more about God, right? And loving each other. So that's what Hope Fellowship is all about. And that's what we need to be all about. Have you ever been on the receiving end of judgment? Let me use this as a practical way. I remember being in court over a traffic ticket, okay? You go there, and they say, okay, state your case. And so I proceeded to tell them what I did, what I thought, or what was going on. And this one particular time, there's only been a few, they said I was guilty. It was out of my hands. I couldn't change their mind. The judge is the judge, right? And you dare not argue with in that situation. So I had to pay the consequences, which was the price that the judge put on that, right? And that's what it is. And so our fate, when it comes to people judging, it's out of our hands because everybody has that free will to judge. You have a free will to judge about different things. And we are supposed to look at things and to see the fruit. We're supposed to judge the fruit, but so many times people judge the person. Okay? So we don't want to get that confused. But being on the receiving end of judgment is painful. And so that's just an actual fact, you know, like a court situation. And really that's what happens when we cast judgment on somebody and we don't give them grace. We have become judge and jury, and we just decided that that's what they are and what they're going to do. And we have not gone to college to be a judge or a jury, right? There's only one when it comes to people, and that's God, when it comes to our everyday life, okay? So maybe you are one who has a hard time receiving grace. So we've talked about not giving grace, or maybe we don't give grace to people, or we didn't receive grace. And maybe it's hard for us to receive God's grace. You know, you think of the things that you've done in your life. You've done wrong and haven't forgiven yourself. Maybe you haven't forgiven the people, those circumstances. I want to tell you, no one deserves God's grace. Do you know that? Grace is really God's love extended to you in spite of what you or I have done, right? And who are we, or what you will become? It's all in spite of all of that. In other words, God gives his grace in spite of what we've done, in spite of maybe even the choices that we make down the road. God's grace is still there. That's right. Right. How many are thankful for God's grace? Me too. Yes. Okay. There's something about the grace of God that penetrates the heart immediately. Okay? And so personally, I have experienced God's grace quicker than any human was willing to offer it to me. And it comes right down to receiving the grace of God and walking away from doing what doesn't please God. So if you're struggling with even receiving God's grace, if you're continually doing something that is not pleasing to God, and, you know, the scripture calls it sin, talked about Friday night, the bad things in our life, right? We need to just let those things stop it. We need to stop doing it and live our lives to please the Lord. You will find trying to please people is futile. Mm-hmm. Pleasing God, this is going to sound weird, but it's very easy to please God because all you have to do is be yourself, right? If I was to bring a puppy in this room and hold this little puppy and pet this little puppy, right? You would all be, aww. You would totally be fine and totally receiving that puppy. That puppy doesn't have to do anything. It's a puppy. So, in reality, we're not puppies, but that's that's kind of how God looks at us, you know? I love you. And I've created you. And I have a plan for you. You're not a mistake, you know? And just like a puppy, we just want to be with that little puppy and just love on that puppy. I mean, if you like puppies, if you're a cat woman, cat guy, you know, the same thing. But they don't have to do anything. That's cat woman, that's funny. But you will find that it's trying to please people is futile. There will always be someone who doesn't like you or what you are doing. And there will always be a person ready to tell you what you have done wrong in their eyes. So the bottom line is, we live to please God and not man. Okay? And so this is the very first thing I want you to look at when we are looking at grace as a greasy arrow. is that God is the master archer. He puts grace on the arrow of love to give to people that penetrates the heart immediately. But not greasy grace, okay? But a greasy arrow to quickly hit the heart of those who need it. And we all need grace from God, right? So, again, God quickly will give me grace, whereas people don't. So that's the whole concept of this whole grace is a greasy arrow. So let's look at that word grace. In Psalms 86:6, it says, give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. Right? And so this writer is saying, I need your grace. Give heed to my prayer. Listen to me. And Psalms 9:13-15 says, be gracious to me, O Lord. See my affliction from those who hate me. O you who lift me up from the gates of death, that I may recount all your praises, that in the gates of the daughter of Zion I may rejoice in your salvation. The nations have sunk in the pit that they made, in the net that they hid. Their own foot has been caught. So in the very beginning of that is saying, be gracious to me. Everybody wants people to be gracious. You know, you want to receive. You want to be able to be received as opposed to be cast away. So here we see how King David cried out to God to be gracious because his enemy has set traps of judgment and wanted him dead. And God is the ultimate judge, not man. He is the one who is just and righteous, not man. We can look at a situation and we can judge a person just like that. But we are looking through our own paradigm. You ever heard that phrase? We're looking through the things we've gone in life. We're looking through maybe our the way how we view life, okay? And or we might be even looking through some junk that we've gone through in our own life, and then we're looking and casting a judgment on somebody else, and we don't give them mercy and grace instantly, right? So it's easy to cast a judgment, but these are some things you can tell yourself. You know, I don't know what kind of day that person had. I don't know what that person's gone through in life. You know, try to put yourself in their shoes. Not to justify, I mean, if they are blatantly in the middle of bad stuff, I'm not saying to, like, in other words, like they went and robbed a bank, and the fact is, you saw them, they were videotaped, they robbed a bank. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Now, we just say, okay, God, then he's yours. You are the one who's to judge him. We're not supposed to go, yeah, and I saw that he had a fight with his wife the night before, and, you know, we just kind of go on with that. That's just something that we leave with God, even if they actually were blatantly in the middle of bad stuff, okay? Because, seriously, the church will, we err all the time on the side of judging people, and it's time we stop. Okay, it's time that we show more love and more grace to people. I sure need it, and I know that you guys do too. And also this verse indicates that the very net placed to snare David, his enemies were caught in. And we have to remember, when we judge, we will be judged, and the same measure will be judged by God. And so let's just look at that verse real quick, okay? Luke 6:37-38 says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put in your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So it's almost like we have this measuring rod. We have a... Was that what you were going to say?
Band-aids.
You know, we have this measuring rod that we place in front of people. That person didn't measure up. Okay, next. That person didn't measure up. And we just start placing this in front of people. I have a question for you. Can you measure up to that measuring rod that you're placing on people? You know, we can't. So let's just relax. Let's give people freedom. And let's just love them as Jesus would love them, as opposed to, I mean, because Jesus came for the tax collector, didn't he? He came for the sinner. The sick person is the one that needs the doctor. It's not the person who is all well. And so Jesus came for the sick. Jesus came for the one who needs his mercy and grace, right? Which is you and me, which is you and me. So if I can just get that embedded into the hearts of anybody that comes to Hope Fellowship here, it's that we are a church that loves people and we accept people for where they're at. And we are not the ones to change. The Holy Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit's job, right? Okay. So let's look at the word grace. There is a difference between the grace of God that God gives and the grace the world gives. The world looks at grace as charm, maybe, elegance. You know, she really had grace when she walked through the room, those type of things. But the grace of God that God offers is far different. And so God's grace is unmerited, not deserved favor he gives to us. So to take the word grace to the original Hebrew, all right, and I'm going to look at Strong's Hebrew and Greek definitions, it means this: to bend or stoop in kindness, merciful, or to have mercy, have pity upon, or make supplication. And this is the grace that God gives us. He will bend down to the lowest depth to pull someone out of the deepest pit. And grace is right there pulling that person out. And so when you think of grace as a greasy arrow, which is my sermon title, you know, I just think of it as God pulling back and the whole, the arrow is hitting the target wherever someone needs it, right? Whew, bam. This person needs grace just like that. And to me, that's what I want to do with people. I'm just going to, bam, give them grace. You got grace to make a mistake because I know that you're trying your best. And I know that, you know, by the grace of God, you ever heard that term? By the grace of God, we will do this. By the grace of God, I will be this. Okay, so we should be, all of us, everyone in this room should be sentenced to hell and damnation.
I was just gonna say that.
Okay. But instead, God extended his grace to us and showed mercy by sending his son to die on the cross. And when we believe and ask Jesus in our heart as Lord and Savior, we will spend eternity with him when we die. In other words, we are saved from burning in hell by God's grace. And that is where the expression comes, saved by grace. Mm-hmm. So his grace saves us not only from hell, but from so many stupid things that we have done in our lives. He offers forgiveness as far as the east is from the west, right? And we looked at that, talked about in Micah, where he hurls our iniquities into the sea, okay? And so stop going in the sea and trying to reach down and grab that sin and go, look what I've done. I can't get over this, okay? Because it's east is from the west. It's removed from our life. It's way down, chucked into the sea, okay? And so you are the ones that you need to receive his grace and to stop bringing up old past junk. Because what happens is, you know, let's say something happened 10, 15 years ago and, oh, Lord God, remember what I did? And he's like, what? What? As far as the east is from the west. Anne?
I was just going to say, sometimes if you judge others, God will actually allow you to walk in their shoes to understand what. Sometimes he'll let you make the same mistake.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
the term, too.
The compassion.
By the grace of God, go I. Mm-hmm. Right? You see someone who's having a hard time in life, and you say, you know what, by the grace of God, go on. Any one of us could be walking down that road, okay? And you know, I would never walk down that road. I make good choices. That's just not my lifestyle. Oh, my goodness.
Be careful not to say that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Really be careful not to say that.
That's right.
Say that.
Yes. Because pride goes before what?
A fall.
I don't want to fall. So all I know is if I hold on to Jesus, I won't fall. Okay, so that's what we need to be doing. And also giving grace to people. Psalms 103:12 says, That's the scripture. As far as east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You know, if Jesus removes our transgressions that far away from us, and we are judging someone else, and we know maybe what's happened in their life, you know what? We are trying to say, no, 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 not this far. You're going to be right here with this transgression, and I see it, and that's what you did. Where Jesus, I mean, God, totally removed it from them. They're not living that lifestyle or whatever they were doing, you know. So let's don't even let that be on this person. Because she's a new creation, right? Mm-hmm. The old has passed away. Mm-hmm. All things are new. Yes. All right? Fresh and new. We talked about that Friday night. So anyway, we're gonna allow people to have mercy and grace. Now, have you ever heard the expression, there's an app for that? How does that have to do with grace? Well, hang on. Anyway, the phrase, there's an app for that, is referring to any application you would like to do on your smartphone or tablet or computer. I would like to extend that saying to whatever you have done. There is grace for that. All right? So grace hits the mark. Grace is a greasy arrow. Hits the mark every time. If you have robbed a bank, I'm just using just typical stuff that are in your face right there. There's grace for that. If you have committed adultery, there is grace for that. If you have stolen or did a crime, there is grace for that. Now listen, not to abuse God's grace and commit all of these things and say, well, there's grace for that. No, no, no. Not at all. We live to please God's heart. Okay? And so living a lifestyle that's constantly doing things that is contrary to His Word, contrary to what God has for you in your life, and you're just choosing your own desires, you're walking in the flesh. You ever heard that term, right? Mm-hmm. You're just walking with, you're doing your own thing. And you're not caring what God is saying. You know, so many times we receive God in our life, and we don't let Him be Lord of our life. And being Lord means that He is in charge and over everything. He's sovereign over our entire life. But so many times, yeah, He's my Savior. He saved me from sin. He saved me from hell. He saved me from the junk I've done. But we choose not to live for Him. To me, they go hand in hand. I can't separate the two at all. Once God is in my heart as Lord and Savior, because He saved me from so much junk, and we're going to find this out in just a minute. We're going to look at a passage in Scripture of someone who was saved much. If we're saved much, we should love much, right? So that's what I'm saying. So even though there's grace for that, I'm trying to extend that to somebody who doesn't receive grace, right? So we turn and we stop doing the stuff that's not pleasing to God and give God's grace even when you don't think you deserve it. God's grace hits the mark every time. His grace is a greasy arrow. Can you see the analogy now? Sort of, kind of. It penetrates the hardest of heart. So I'd like to sum up the entire title of this message with a great story from the Bible. And there are three different accounts of this story in the New Testament, and all had to do with an alabaster flask and spikenard oil. So let's turn to Mark, if you have your Bibles. Mark 14. We're going to look at three different accounts of the same story. I believe it's the same story. Okay. Starting with verse 3, we're going to read to 9. Okay. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of a very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for some, then three or four, I'm sorry, for it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. So there's the judgment.